we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
You know, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, February 9th, 2018. I am your host, Jillian Walters, and I am joined here today by our co-host, Sinead Sanders.
Hello.
And control room operator, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
Welcome to our first Black History Month celebration show. We have two interviews today with two fabulous young people, Genesis Butler and Kingston Walters, a.k.a. King Zoom the Vegan Kid. Genesis Butler is an 11-year-old vegan and animal rights activist who has received several awards for her activism. She is the youngest person in history to give a TED Talk when she gave a talk on animal agriculture and its destruction of the planet. Genesis is going to share her vegan message with us and tell us about her new nonprofit organization, Genesis for the Animals. Our second interview is with Kingston Walters, a 13-year-old vegan and animal rights activist. He is going to tell us about his new YouTube channel and all the activism he has been up to this year. But first, you may be aware that Valentine's Day is coming up. How can we not, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we've had a few conversations about Valentine's this week, different reasons why people want to celebrate it and reasons why people don't want to celebrate it and why a lot of people just don't care. But yeah, there are a few things about it. I mean, it's got sort of a murky history, as I've been trying to find out online, even who is Saint Valentine, or, you know, how this whole thing started. And there are all these different theories. And of course, today it has just evolved into what many people see as largely a commercial holiday that's about selling stuff, and there's the whole gender expectations and all these reasons why people sort of question the thing. But yeah, Jillian, you had sent us an article earlier this week that talked about some of the racial issues with Valentine's Day for some people. Do you want to describe some of that for us?
Yeah, another disturbing part of our history. I know the history, but it was even shocking to read about it last night that in the 30s, I guess 20s, 30s, that the Valentine's Day cards, that was the main thing, was giving cards. And they were very racist. The messages, the images were very racist, but it was totally normal.
There are lists of all sorts of racist Valentines over the years. And yeah, some disturbing things that even talk about, you know, be my Valentine or else they're going to hang me or something. And it's supposed to be cute. And it's, you sort of look at it and go, are you serious? And this was not that long ago. Yeah. This was not even 100 years ago. Yeah. This is just decades ago that this was so widely accepted. And we got to talking about, the article that we learned about these in was saying that Valentine's Day has racist origins, or has perpetuated racism, has contributed to that. And because of course racism is still very much an issue today. And the way I was sort of looking at it was Valentine's Day itself is not necessarily racist. It's just our culture that is, you know, the reason why those Valentines were so normal and like, horrifically racist, but they were everywhere because society was horrifically racist. And so it's not surprising put in that context. But even today, there are things about the way that Valentine's Day has been presented or celebrated or observed that can perpetuate negative stereotypes or with regards to gender, with regards to race, all sorts of ways. So I think that's what we sort of came to start talking about, is how the holiday itself is not necessarily oppressive. It's just the way that we acknowledge it.
And I think it's totally relevant to be talking about history, especially since it's Black History Month. It's so important to know our history and to know that, you know, we weren't perfect like this. And it's totally relevant today because this stuff, it's kind of rising, you know, with mm-hmm. the new administration in the States and stuff like that. It's this kind of stuff is still there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's important to look back and look at what we've got going on right now too, because that's just an indicator of how wrong things can be and how so many people can just see it as all right. The fact that all these racist Valentines could have gone around the world and everyone's just buying them happily just decades ago, just decades. You know?
I want to talk about commercialization too, because that's where we're at right now with sort of what Valentine's has become, you know, since I've been alive. And we here at Animal Voices and Co-op Radio we're a non-commercial radio station. We're kind of anti-commercialization, right? And because we want to speak the truth here and we don't want to be hindered by any supposed sponsors that might be paying our way to, we're all volunteers here, but that is not an issue here at mm-hmm. Co-op Radio and Animal Voices. And we can speak freely about issues such as corporate commercialization. So what do you think, I'm curious, Jillian and Sinead, what are your perceptions of how the commercialization has maybe risen, or like how do you see it these days with regards to Valentine's Day, like expectations and money that needs to be spent in that?
It feels like a very forced holiday. Here's another forced holiday where and all this stuff is in my face.
I don't know about that. I don't see it as that for me. It could be. It depends who you are and where you're coming from, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me personally, it's just sort of being a day of the year. If I feel like celebrating, if I have a romantic partner at the time and we feel like doing something, then cool. And if I don't, I really like the idea of Valentine's Day being about just love in general, because mm-hmm. I think that it can, you see things going around. One in particular that I really despise I can't remember if it's like February 15th or something, and they call it like Man's Valentine's Day.
But what about Galentine's Day? I like that one. Are you opposed to that one, Sinead?
Well, no, not necessarily. A bunch of gals want to just get together, but it's things like that going around that just suggest to me that, women are supposed to be the ones that want men to provide them with flowers and chocolate on this one day of the year. And it's, you know, they want the romance, but men aren't really into it, right? Because they're just into sex and man, quote unquote, man food like meat. But we've had discussions on the show about that before.
And we must acknowledge that is a stereotype.
Yes, it is. It is a stereotype, and it's absurd. And can we just not keep perpetuating that? Because
a man eating steak is actually not sexy.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah, that's.
So what values do we see as that we would like our Valentine to imbue, if we had one?
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
I think equality and just sharing love and compassion mm-hmm. with anybody, just in general. I think that's the direction I'd like to see Valentine's Day go in, you know, go with romantic love or go with just love in general, just about loving and respecting people. And I think that's the way to do it.
Loving and respecting people and animals and all living beings.
Indeed.
I want to say that too. And not just on one day of the year, but really like it would be great if we perpetuated that thought and actions for the whole year. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about Jillian and I are going to be participating in an event this weekend that will be perpetuating love and compassion for our all living beings and humans. We'll talk about that later. But go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention what I discovered through my, thank goodness I subscribed mm-hmm. to the Love Army. So this came across in my email the other day and I thought, oh, this is exactly what I need, because I did not want to, I didn't know how to talk about Valentine's Day because it's not really my thing. Right. So there's a new campaign, and it's called Hashtag Reclaim Love. So it starts out today. There's going to be a TED Talk by Valerie... don't know her last name because I can't find it. Anyways, so she's talking about reclaiming love and exactly the stuff we've been talking about. And then on February 14th, she's asking everybody to tweet or Instagram or post a video of how you are celebrating love. Love for yourself, love for, like we said, people, love for animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's another point, too, to make that, I mean, flowers and chocolate are associated with Valentine's Day, and a lot of flowers and chocolate come from some really uncompassionate places, and so if you are going to go that route, and if you do, or your partner or your friend or whoever do like flowers and chocolates and those sorts of traditional Valentine's things, then you can just make sure that they're sourced from ethical places. Go pick some flowers or something, or make sure that they are from a responsible place, because there's a lot of human rights abuses in the floristry industry,
Not to mention the chocolate industry. We've done a couple of shows on that in the past. One was for Valentine's Day. If you want to check that out, on animalvoices.org, the ethics of chocolate and slavery, human slavery, and fair trade issues in that. And that's all connected with intersectional issues of social justice, because when you oppress others, no one can be freed, right? And we're here to talk about freeing the animals, right? And we want to fight against the oppression of animals, non-human beings, and but with that comes the oppression of all beings.
Yeah. So, I mean, the dairy and chocolate, too. You know, nothing says, I love you, like a box of child slave chocolates filled with tortured animal juice, right?
Right.
So, you can get vegan chocolates. You can get them at Vegan Supply on Pender Street. You can get them at Nice Shoes on Fraser Street. You can get them all over the place. And compassion is sexy, and destroying the environment and abusing billions of animals certainly is not. And I think I respect men enough to believe that steak is not manly for those reasons.
And make a homemade card. Let's save the trees.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is because I have a vision of this card my mom made me on a piece of, 8x10 paper, just folded in half, and she used pencil crayons in pink and red. And it was like, I have this image, and it was so, it obviously made a big impression on me, because this was years ago when I was a little girl. So
homemade cards still use paper, though, Jillian. I'd like to point
out. You can use recycled paper.
Yeah, I do. You know what? I make homemade cards all the time, but for family members only, because I know that they keep them forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, for sure.
So I did find the woman's name. Her name is Valerie Carr, and I'll put her up on our Facebook page today, and it's called the Revolutionary Love Project.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about the, I think this is going with this project. It's this hashtag Reclaim Love that's going to be put on the internet with social media. We'll be promoting it as well. And maybe, Jillian, you can talk a bit about what that means, like to reclaim love, and i.e. reclaim Valentine's Day, and to make it, like, what do we see as Valentine's, like, what is the potential for Valentine's as opposed to what is being put out there now with Reclaim Love?
Okay, you want me to speak on that?
Yeah, like, I just want to know, like, what does that mean to you? Like, okay. because I know, like, you're talking about how you don't support, like, the commercialization of what Valentine's has become these days, and that you don't really identify with that, and I get that. I feel that way as well, but how can we reclaim this day and to make it into something? It also has, you know, the racial undertones in its history, which is really bad, right? And it's also, it's a Hallmark holiday as well. Like, it's a card holiday, but it actually doesn't originate at that. And we can reclaim it to what I think it's supposed to be and meant to be.
Yeah, so reclaiming it is focusing on love for all.
Right.
And
as we said, including animals, too.
And putting that out there on social media.
Yeah, and sharing it around,
yeah.
and and making sure that, I don't know, that people like really see the true idea behind having compassion for others and to showing it. You're talking about, there's the campaign too about showing compassion in public, or is that correct?
Yeah.
And I guess that's what we're doing now here on the radio. What we do every, I mean, our tagline is compassionate living, right? And vegan lifestyle. And so if you want to learn more about compassionate living, listen to Animal Voices every week, because that is, like I said, like in terms of intersectionality with social justice issues, I think that's what it really comes all down to, is the baseline, the moral baseline of having compassion for all, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's what it comes down to. And if everyone would start with that moral baseline of compassion and love, then you can go from there, and we're all on common ground, and there wouldn't be fighting among other groups and among political parties and among different social justice issues and that. Like, we would all be starting from the same place, I think, if we just like think with compassion in our hearts and on our minds.
And here's a good quote by Valerie: in the face of the fires of injustice, I have seen labors of love deliver us. Revolutionary love is the choice to enter into labor for others who do not look like us, for our opponents who hurt us, and for ourselves. In this era of enormous rage, when the fires are burning all around us, I believe that revolutionary love is the call of our times.
I think that's a great way to end. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
So don't blow it.
We're here to present the cutting-edge radio you want to hear. What about a program featuring just local Vancouver bands?
No market for that.
We have an expert on gospel music.
No.
Our public affairs programs dig deep with voices other stations won't touch.
No.
Programs with First Nations hosts?
Sorry, no market for that.
We've got a lot of shows in other languages for people all over the world. Folk music?
You're kidding, right? Who would sponsor that?
Can't make big bucks with programs people want to hear? You have to go to Co-op Radio for that. Community-owned radio. Now at 100.5 FM. The switch is on.
And on the theme of Valentine's Day, a vegan restaurant, Eternal Abundance, invites you to stop in on Valentine's Day for a lovely evening of romantic ambiance coupled with a rich and decadent meal. They're hosting a 5-course prefix dinner where you can expect candlelight and welcoming hearts from their charming and friendly servers. My housemate works there. He's pretty charming. Hi, Aaron.
You're lucky. I had a look at that menu. It looks amazing. I wish they would do it more than just one day, because I want to go.
Yeah, it sounds really good. The menu is really diverse. They've got both raw and cooked options and a selection of different BC wines to pair with your meal. Support wine, not pipelines, right? So there you go.
Support vegan establishments. They're a great place to go to, a great place to support.
Yeah, what better way to celebrate love than enjoying a delicious meal without needlessly slaughtered animals in it? No kidding. So this dinner is available from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Eternal Abundance, 1025 Commercial Drive on Valentine's Day. For more info on tickets, you can go to their website, eternalabundance.ca. And on Sunday, February 18th, Direct Action Everywhere has organized for Rabbitats, a Rabbitats Volunteer Day and potluck. Rabbitats is a rabbit shelter and vegan organization in Richmond, and they house about 90 abandoned rabbits, most of whom are up for adoption and all of whom are adorable. And they have a move coming up, shifting to a new location. So if you want to lend a hand for the bunnies, show up at Rabbitats on Sunday, February 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to help out. And this is also a potluck, so you can bring an animal-friendly vegan dish to share. Rabbitats is located at Smallwood Place in Richmond, just off Knight Street and Westminster Highway. And you can find more info on their website, rabbitats.org. And DXC actually has another event coming up. Jillian, did you want to mention, there aren't any specific plans, but February 25th, there's going to be a dairy demonstration?
Yes, there is, and it's not top secret. It's it's not ready yet to go. Yeah. But there's also a pre-potluck. So you can come to the potluck and then you can come to the demo.
What day is that?
Sunday the 25th.
Okay.
All right. And Allison, you wanted to talk about dog wab.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about this a bit last week and we always run out of time. So we've got some time now to chat. So I hope, I know Jillian's going to be there. Sinead, you always want to come to dog wab. Are you going to make it out this weekend?
I hoped to, but once again, scheduling issues. We'll see what I can do.
It's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So you can choose whatever day works for you. And if you're wondering what this weird acronym stands for, it's our day of giving within arbitrary borders. So what that means is last year on July 1st, which is known as our Canada Day here in Canada, we, a group of us activists, just vegans, people who care, we started this, it was going to be a one-time event to focus on and sort of to oppose that nationalistic focus of Canada Day, where it sort of, it celebrates our nation, but it doesn't recognize the people who are impoverished on our streets and who have needs and who are, those needs are often ignored, right? And people are living in the streets and they don't have basic needs such as warm food and fresh food to eat, right? And especially healthy food, something that is nourishing. And then just basic personal items like toothbrushes and toothpaste and shampoo and socks. Yes,
and bras. At the same time.
Yeah, so so this is what we started to speak up and to show, I guess, our opposition towards this, but our activism, and to show that we can make a difference. So what we have done, and Jillian and I have helped both times because we did it twice last year. So this is our third one, and it's organized by David Isbister, who's amazing, and he is the he's the genius behind like all the organizing and making all the food. So if you've ever wanted to do something for people who are homeless or living on the streets, and it involves food, and that part doesn't exactly align with your ethics because you don't want to give people oppressive food, i.e. dead animal bodies, right? That's always been an issue with me. So we are making delicious vegan food for these people. We've done it, like I said, twice before. We did it last July and we did it last... we did it on Labor Day weekend, and I can tell you we made amazing, awesome food, which we gave out to, I think it was like 150 people the first time, or 200, and then 300 the second time. And
it gets bigger every time.
Did you know there's that much need for it in downtown Vancouver East Side, like, which is actually right where we're situated here in at the radio station at Columbia Street in East Hastings, right? Mm-hmm. This is the heart of that community, and which I think makes it even more special and desirable for people who work at the radio station, right, to reach out, because we are a community radio station. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I was just really touched by how the people in that area, in this area, I should say, really appreciated our offerings. So we gave them out all food that we made with our hands, and it was all like very high quality, delicious food, nourishing, healthy, and then lots of socks.
Everyone that that ate, I mean, there was nothing left. The food was gone.
There's a need. So this time we're doing it for 2 days. We're doing it on Sunday and Monday. And if you didn't know, this is a long weekend this week. It's family day on Monday. So that means that I don't have to work. So that means that I can come down and spend all day helping out in the kitchen and then going out. We go out into the street. We basically, what we do is, what we've done in the past is we've had this like, sort of like this, what would you call it? Like
caravan.
A human caravan. Where we all kind of go down Main Street, and our main destination was like the Main and Hastings area, and we're going down Main Street and we're stopping wherever people have need. We'll stop and we open our pop-up shop, right? And you've brought your son Kingston, who we're having on the show soon, mm-hmm. in the past, that is part of his activism, him, and we had another young girl, Healy. They were amazing, and I think this is especially a great event and project to involve children.
Absolutely.
With I wonder if you can speak on that as a mother yourself, Joanne.
I was going to say that it's family day, so they're not in school. You can bring them.
And what better way to spend with your family?
Yeah.
But why do you think it's important to expose your kids to these issues in our community and to get them involved?
To see that these people are no different than you. We're all the same. Just different financial circumstances or health circumstances. And I think this area is often avoided by a lot of people. You know, they'll go around. They'll take a different route. We need to see these people.
And I think we need to be connected to them. It was it really touched my heart to be able to reach out to these people and to connect and to speak with them, to exchange words. And it was all, you know, it's pretty simple. It's just like there, as David says, there are shoppers and they're coming to shop at our free store. That's what he called it, a free store, remember? And we have all this stuff to give out, including food, and they can have whatever they want. There's no strings attached, and we wish them a good day and they leave with some good food. And there's so many areas in the downtown east side that I feel like we need to get out to. So that's why we're doing it over 2 days this week. So if you're interested in helping out with this, I'm going to post the Facebook event on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. David tells me that he's quite good for people helping out on Sunday, but Monday he still needs people. Perhaps he needs some people tomorrow as well to help out in the kitchen. So I'll leave it at that. And this is in Vancouver.
And if anybody wants to bring their kids, please get in touch with me if they have any questions and we can maybe go together.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we've got about 5 minutes now for news.
All right, perfect. And, yes, if anyone of you has an animal-friendly event that you'd like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. And, yeah, the news this week. So the federal government has presented a new bill that updates the Fisheries Act just this week, including restrictions on capturing wild whales and dolphins for the purpose of keeping them in captivity. The changes would still allow exceptions to rescue cetaceans who are injured, sick, or requiring care, and are part of a larger set of changes which include the restoration and protection of fishes and their habitats. The government also wants to give itself the power to restrict the import of whales and dolphins into the country. So these all sound like positive steps, right? But the changes are missing an essential part of protecting cetaceans from the cruelty of captivity. Without a ban on the breeding of captive whales and dolphins, it'll be business as usual at places like the Vancouver Aquarium and Marineland, with more animals being forced to endure the misery of life in a tiny tank. So this is why we need Senate Bill S-203, the Ending the Captivity of Whales and Dolphins Act, to persist through Parliament and become law. Bill S-203 would ban whale and dolphin captivity across the country and captive breeding and ban the import and export of whales and dolphins along with their reproductive materials. Even though S-203 cleared the Senate Fisheries Committee last fall, conservative senators, who tend to favor business over ethical change, it seems, have been using delay tactics to stall the bill from reaching its final Senate vote. So this new bill presented by the government this week, some are saying, could just be a way to placate the public if S-203 doesn't go through. So to help ensure that S-203 does go through, which is extra important now that this other bill has been presented, you can send a letter pressuring conservative government representatives to stop stalling and get S-203 through Parliament. And Animal Justice has made this easy for you. You can go to their website, animaljustice.ca, or we have it posted on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. You just click a link, fill it out, and hit send, and that just makes it easy. And we're really close here. So yeah, let's see what we can do for what kind of change we can make.
A revolution is coming for the animals and the cetaceans in Canada. It's coming. We're seeing it. It's snowballing.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed in the news, too, the Vancouver Aquarium decided to hop on board with these changes and go, oh, we think it's great that the government has banned the capture of cetaceans in the wild for the purposes of captivity. You know, the Vancouver Aquarium pioneered this in 1996 when they stopped capturing animals to specifically be put in cetaceans to be put at the aquarium, but they were forced to do that after decades of activism, and they still have loopholes, and that's what those are loopholes that
and they've only recently have really put a ban on that recent weeks, but the point is that this is showing the revolution that is coming with with animals, and what, and it's all because of animal activists. Specifically, I'd like to mention our co-host Jen Dobell, who does so much work on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yay, Jen.
Yeah. Yes, so do check out our page and send a letter to conservative representatives. Go ahead with Bill S-203. Let's see, do we have time for one more story here?
I could put a challenge out to any kids that want to do a video and send it to your senators. Kingston did that over Christmas. He sent a video to the senators asking them to pass Bill S-203.
There you go. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, and really quickly here, a 20-year-old Alison Waugh is an animal farmer in the UK, and she was recently featured on the BBC saying that she received death threats from vegans, saying that what she's doing is wrong. Death threats, saying we're going to kill you for killing animals. But as it turns out, she lied to the BBC, and she has not actually received death threats. So I just want to take the opportunity to say, people who paint vegans and animal activists as these violent people who are, you know, we're basically just saying, hey, consider not harming animals needlessly. We're not the ones bashing people over the head for no reason. So there you go. Check it out. And yeah, that is all the time we have for the news today.
Our first speaker is going to be this amazing, very amazing individual who at only 4 years old started her journey towards veganism, which is awesome. And it's an honor and privilege to have her speak here. Her name is Genesis, and... Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming to the march today. Activism is one of the most important things we can do for the animals. The animals need us to keep fighting for them. I went vegan almost 5 years ago. And when I went vegan, I was so happy because I knew I was doing something good for the animals by not eating them. When I used to eat animals, it made me feel really sad. It made my heart hurt. So that is why I asked my mom what I was eating. I could feel their pain and their suffering, and after, I asked my mom what more I could do for them. I just felt like there was something else I could do. So my mom helped me, and she told me about protesting. And I told her that I really wanted to go to one. Well, we went to our first protest. It was against Ringling Brothers. I'm not going to lie, I was a little scared. Okay. Well, I was, like, terrified. Me and my mom didn't know what to expect. We didn't even know what was going to happen. But when we got there, we met so many amazing activists that helped us there and made us feel so comfortable. I loved my first protest. From then, all I wanted to do was make signs and protest. I remember when we started protesting, we passed by a house with a tent on it. And I yelled, Mom, stop, a circus. Let's go buy some signs and protest. I remember when this happened, I was going to be an activist for the rest of my life. Yeah. Well, we kept protesting Ringling Brothers for a few years, and I woke up so happy this year when I found out we all did it. We shut down Ringling Brothers. When people say that activism doesn't work, I think about all the victories I have seen since I became an activist. It works. Our voices are heard. If you want to protest or do another form of activism, or you just don't think that they work, just remember that your voice is important. Don't ever give up. If you are protesting and somebody gives you the finger, or even the double finger, don't get discouraged. Just know that the finger guy read your sign, and he knows why you're there. You probably planted a seed. Some people might just ignore you or not take your leaflet, but the next person will, and that is what is important. Another thing I hear people tell activists is how come we are fighting for humans? Well, they don't realize that when we are fighting for animals, we are also fighting for humans. Because we are all connected. When I was a little girl, I used to always tell my mom that I was here for a reason. But I just never knew why my reason was. Well, when I went vegan, I just knew why I was here. I'm here to help save animals, because once animals are gone from this planet, we are next. This is why I know that our fight is so important. We are fighting for everyone. I always felt in my heart that my Native American ancestors wanted me to share this message to the world about how important it is to help save animals. Because we aren't only helping saving animals, but humans too. It makes me so sad to see so many people in the world fighting because of their differences. But then I see all the animal rights activists together, and we aren't thinking about our differences. We are only thinking about the thing that we have in common, and that is our love for animals. So I want to thank you for this, because you are showing kids like me that adults do care, and that they want to make this world a better place for future generations and all life on this planet. So thank you for coming here to the march, and for using your voices for the animals, and for not giving up. I just learned recently that my great-great-uncle, Cesar Chavez, used to tell all the activists who marched with him, the only time you lose is when you quit. Well, they didn't quit, and they changed the world. And we can too. Keep using your voices for the animals, and keep fighting. Since they fled them.
All right, give it up for Genesis. How amazing was that? Thank you.
Genesis Butler is an 11-year-old vegan and animal rights activist who went vegan at the age of 6 when she found out mother cows had their milk taken from them. Genesis has received several awards for her activism, including Animal Heroes Kids Sir Paul McCartney, Young Veg Advocate, PETA's Kid of the Year, and the Supreme Master Shining World Leader Award for Compassion. She is also featured in Vegan Everyday Stories and the upcoming documentary, The Invisible Vegan, and recently became the youngest person in history to give a TED Talk when she gave a talk on animal agriculture and its destruction of the planet. Genesis loves to share her message of love and compassion for all life on this planet and speaks regularly at both vegan and non-vegan events. She is currently starting her own nonprofit organization, Genesis for Animals, where she will be raising funds for animal sanctuaries and shelters throughout the world. We're so happy to have Genesis on the show today. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Can you tell our listeners when and how you became vegan?
Yes, so how I became vegan was one day I was sitting at the dinner table and I started to wonder about where my chicken nuggets came from. So I asked my mom and I said, Mom, where do my chicken nuggets come from? And she told me, oh, just from the grocery store, but I thought we had to have got them from somewhere else, not just the grocery store. So I asked her again, I said, Mom, where do we really get them from? And she told me how we kill animals for them. I was devastated. I said I never wanted to eat meat ever again. Then my mom and I, we stopped eating animals, and about a year later, I walked into my mom's bedroom, and she was nursing my little sister Zion, and I started to wonder about where my milk came from. So I said, Mom, where do we get our milk? And she told me that we got it from Mama Cows. I looked at it this way, I said, so that's like someone taking your milk just to give it to humans instead of my little sister. And she told me that that was exactly how it was. She never thought of it that way. And after my whole family went vegan, it's been almost 5 years now. At the end of this month, it's actually going to be our 5-year vegan anniversary.
How cool. I was going to ask you, it seems like your family was on board with it. How did your friends react?
Oh, yeah, they reacted really good. They thought that it was really amazing how I was vegan and how strong I am and they thought that it was really cool. And when they saw me bringing all my vegan food, they always wanted to try some. So I would have one thermos for me and one thermos for all my friends to try some.
Oh, that's so cool. So you were sharing all your vegan treats.
Yes.
Cool. Have you had any bad experiences with your peers, or good or bad, or...
It's been pretty good. They haven't really said anything about me being vegan. They think that it's really cool how I have so much willpower to be vegan, and that it's amazing.
It is amazing. Most people that become vegan do it for health reasons and stop there, but you went right into activism. What motivated you to use your voice to make change?
Well, what motivated me was that I knew that by being vegan, I was doing something good for, like, the planet and for the animals, but I just felt like there was something else I can do for them. So then I started doing a little bit of research, and I found out about protesting. And when I went to my first protest, I started leafleting. And ever since then, I've been in love with doing activism, because I knew, like, veganism was great for the planet and the environment, but I wanted to do more for these animals, because the animals mean the world to me, so I wanted to do more.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
You have been the youngest person ever to give a TED Talk. What was that experience like for you?
It was amazing being able to, like, share the message of how good it is to be vegan for the environment, for your health, and for the animals, because veganism it is not just a lifestyle, it's everything. You're doing it for health and environment, and most importantly, the animals. And it was amazing giving it, because a lot of people that saw my TED Talk ended up going vegan, and it's amazing to me, because when people go vegan, they're saving animals, and I'm just really happy when I find it out.
Yeah, that must be so rewarding. So Kingston has a question.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Genesis. It's me, Kingston. I just wanted to say, what kind of advice do you have for young vegan activists like you? I mean, like me, or anything else?
The advice that I give them is just keep going. Sometimes if you're protesting or passing out leaflets, some people are going to say, oh, it's okay, but the next person will take it, because just remember that you're doing this for the animals, and that a lot of animals are going to end up being saved from doing activism and protesting, and I think that that's the amazing part. So just keep going. Just do it for the animals.
Totally. Perfect. I'm so happy. That's awesome. Perfect.
Thank you.
What is your favorite vegan meal?
My favorite vegan meal? Well, that's really hard to choose. What do you think? My favorite vegan meal is, I love spaghetti. My mom, she'll get vegan meats, and she'll put, like, meatballs in it, and then it's a really quick, easy meal. My mom, she'll make some garlic bread. Mm. That's my favorite meal, spaghetti, garlic bread, or even mac and cheese. Oh, I love vegan mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And vegan chicken nuggets is my favorite.
You still like the nuggets. Yeah, they make really good fake vegan nuggets.
They do.
So tell our listeners about what you will be up to this year. I understand you're starting a nonprofit organization to raise money for animal sanctuaries.
Yes, so this year I'm going to be starting my foundation called Genesis for Animals to raise money for sanctuaries all over the world that need help with their animals, and if an animal needs to go get a vet visit and surgeries or shots that are really expensive, I'll give them money so that they can do that for the animals, so that the animals can survive. And this year, I'm also going to be going all over the country to a lot of places to be speaking about veganism and just spreading the vegan message.
That's amazing. Before we say goodbye, where can our listeners follow the work that you are doing?
Yes, they can follow me on, I have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. My Twitter is GenesisButlerV. My Instagram, A Vegan Child's Journey, and my Facebook's A Vegan Child's Journey.
Okay, good. I'll post that on the show today. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners before we say goodbye?
What I would like to say to the listeners is just keep going, because the animals really need our help, and we're going to end up changing the world.
You definitely are. It's really in the younger generation's power to do all this, and you're such a great example. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much, and keep up the amazing work you are doing to spread the vegan message.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Kingston Walters, a.k.a. King Zoom the Vegan Kid, has been vegan since birth. When he was 7, he gave his birthday money to Doctors Without Borders, specifically to help the people of Haiti affected by the earthquake. He has raised money for local animal shelters and the Fort McMurray fire by selling lemonade in the summer. The past few years, Kingston has become well-known on the Vancouver animal rights scene and is known for his enthusiasm, compassion, and talent for connecting with all people. He loves to leaflet and is currently spreading the vegan message with his YouTube channel and Instagram called King Zoom the Vegan Kid. Welcome, Kingston Walters, to the show.
So happy to be here.
You were on the show last Mother's Day and told our listeners a little bit about your vegan journey, which began at birth. You were starting to make quite a name for yourself on the Vancouver animal rights scene with your activism. I remember you had met Jane Goodall and asked her some questions, and you had a goal to start a YouTube channel. Why don't we start by telling our listeners what kind of activism you've been up to since last year?
So, yeah, good idea. I spoke at the Parks Board hearing on cetacean captivity. I also gathered signatures for Bill S-203. And I made a video and sent it to the Canadian senators asking them to pass Bill S-203 for Christmas.
I saw that video. It was very cool. What did you do in the video?
So, in the video, I was on my set in my vegan kit, and I was holding up flashcards, and I was saying, all I want for Christmas, blah, blah, blah. And I had a Grinch and a whale, what we do not want in the tanks. Woo!
I love your enthusiasm, Kingston.
Thanks.
You also took part in some marches.
Yeah, totally. I took part in the march to close off slaughterhouses and warn silence. I met Dr. Greek and asked him a question about what kids can do to stop animal testing. And he said to study science, because science always wins.
What was the most recent protest or demo that you took part in?
Mm-hmm. So, most recently I took part in the Canada Goose protest.
What was that like?
Yeah. It was hard to watch the big screen, like sad, but I know when I'm older, I'll be brave to handle all that emotions. It's still sad when you're adult and you're a kid, but when you're like in that DXC and all that, you know what's happening, you know to be brave, and it's for a good cause anyway.
Yes, and you know what, adults can't watch that stuff either.
Yeah, totally.
It's good for awareness at first, but you don't want to watch it all the time.
Totally, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So what were the people like that you handed out leaflets to? Were they nice? How was that for you?
I guess I could do the shaky hand, like, what's up, Doc? Well, like, some people said, oh, I'll look at it. Some people said, no, I'm not going to do it. Or they say, yeah, I'll keep it. And I saw a kind of people wearing, like, free family, a kid, an adult, a son or whatever. And I said, can you please have a pamphlet? And they ignored me, walked away. And I said, can you please have a pamphlet? And they said, no. Then after I gave them one and said, yeah, please have it. And they said, fine. Grabbed it out of my hand and walked away. But I think this is good, like, maybe they like that I gave it to them, and maybe they right now in their house are getting new jackets and having that Canada Goose not on them.
That's excellent, you know, because sometimes people, when they're confronted with the truth, it's hard to handle.
Yeah.
But they took it. So maybe you're right. Maybe they will go home and read that.
Totally.
So I heard you also volunteer. What kind? What do you do?
Yeah. Yes, I help at the Happy Heart.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you do there?
So, I guess you could say I pick up poop. Poopy. Poop.
All kinds of poop, I bet.
Yeah, I guess I could do that because they garth poop the pig. Baby poop. Like baby the donkey poop. Cow poo. Turkey poo. They even poo turkey. I know this is funny for little kids when you're hearing this. Yeah. I eat the yummy food. I give food to the animals. And yeah. And I was feeding, like a pumpkin to baby. Mm-hmm. And by accident, he bited my middle finger only by accident. So that was funny. Aww. It hurt me. But
I guess the apple got, your finger got too close.
To yeah, because I wasn't like having flat hand.
Right. Because there's a certain way you feed animals, right? With a flat hand.
Yeah.
So, do you have a favorite animal there?
Yes, I was just going to say it's baby, but, like, my favorite, yeah, I love baby. Baby didn't mean it. My favorite animal so far is Walker the dog. Like, I love Walker. He's, like, the best. Even though he sometimes go, meow, he's still good. He's a awesome dog there.
He is cool, for sure.
And he even herds the turkey sometimes when we did a family photo.
Yeah, he seems like the boss of the place.
Yeah, he is.
So let's talk about your YouTube show.
Totally.
It's called King Zoom the Vegan Kid. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's called King Zoom the Vegan Kid, obviously. I do short videos on different vegan topics. So I've done 6 episodes where I made chocolate milk, bliss balls, a fruit smoothie, overnight oatmeal, chocolate ice cream, and Swiss cheese. And the latest one I did was Swiss cheese.
That sounds yummy. I understand you're going to interview people soon as well.
Yes, so that's going to be King Zoom the Vegan Kid on the World. And I'm going to also be going to, like, shopping malls to, like, go in the phone and say, be vegan, attention shoppers. I'll go to libraries, I'll go to supermarkets, I'll go to, like, other places, like, maybe a school sometimes. The latest one I'm going to be doing maybe next Saturday or the next Saturday after, I'm going to go to Hallmark Farms, and I might interview as Roy Sassano or Megan Betty, I think it is. I'm not accusing anyone of anything. And get those, like, whatever they're called, workers in Hallmark Farms to do not hurt the chickens in boiling water.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That'd be interesting if you could get an interview with one of the workers. That would be cool.
And, yeah, anyone who's watching this, maybe try to get a GoPro if you guys, whatever I think is the best. GoPros are good.
So, oh, there's something else you wanted. Did you want to say coming up on your show? You're also doing other demos besides cooking.
Yes, yes, I am. So, yeah, I am going to be doing cleaning products that are not tested on animals, and they're going to be vegan. It's going to be Lush. It's going to be something like Lush, but I make it on my set. It's going to be a set like mine, but a bit bigger table. And, yeah, I'm going to do it in the future past, like, maybe, like, in March or April or June, July, around there.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to
and
that.
And it's going to be, like, shampoo, hair color you can put in your hair, body wash, all kinds of things you would think of you would get at Lush, you know? Mm-hmm. So stay tuned to watch that in the summer, early spring.
So what's your favorite food?
Good idea, Janine. What is my favorite food, you guys may ask? My favorite food is, everyone knows I'm a samosa lover. When I went to Grandma Chad's, they're having samosas, and I'm like, wanny, give me a samosa. So I love samosas. I love vegetable gyozas. And I like sushi. Sushi, S-U-S-H-I.
Yum, you're making me hungry, Kingston.
Thanks.
And it's almost lunchtime.
Yep.
So it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. I will post all your information on our website. Okay. Is there anything you'd like to tell our listeners before we say goodbye?
So I just want everyone to please subscribe to my channel and go vegan. Give me a big fat thumbs up. And drum roll, please. So excited. Yeah. And remember, I'll give you guys some advice. If you guys want to contact me or follow me, go to @KingZoomTheVeganKid for Instagram, and go to KingZoomTheVeganKid for Facebook. Thank you.
Awesome. I hope you get lots of new subscribers after this.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show, Friday, February 16th, 2018, as we continue celebrating Black History Month. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. AnimalVoices.org is where you can stream shows or download the shows as podcasts, read our show blog with detailed links, and subscribe via iTunes. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at AnimalVoicesYVR. You can also send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email. We're closing the show now with a song called Spirulina by Chronix. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Good God have mercy, ay. Good God have grace, ay. God have mercy, ay. Drink it, Spirulina build up my confidence. Rastafari run the continent. This King Selassie, I pay the consequence. Don't get it confused. God. Spirulina, come make me mix up the roots with Medina. From half a tour and me knee feel weak, so me go a whoop road and go link fever. What good for your nerves, so what's up and support a coconut water fi wash off your heart. Hey, nobody could have said Rasta soft. Me go link fever fast and never fever grass. Hey, Spirulina we blending, so you know why I'll be spending every dollar out of me bill fold. Hey, a buckle of the green and I eat let me queen, so me skill like Alan still cold. If you not get it, you will lose. Make your food be your medicine, your food. Blend up your carrot with the lettuce in a juice. No fear, free mix the vegetable with the fruit. Lord, give me a bottle of Spirulina. And make me mix up the roots with Medina. Come off a tour and me knee feel weak. So me go a whoop road and go link fever. Hey, give me a bottle of Spirulina. And make me mix up the roots with Medina. Me brother Teflon won't give me a niece. We drive go a whoop road. I want you to take my body serious. I know anything can go in a me teacup. Me live like a king like niggas negus. Caesar drink rum till him body seize up. But me go link viva, him say him got it right here. One bottle of Spirulina and I cut a right here. Me no like weed, it's that I'm the worst nightmare. I know give me anything, no give me red stripe beer. Just give me a bottle of Spirulina. I make me mix up the roots with Medina. Come off a tour and me need feel weak. So me go a whoop road and go link viva. Oh, give me a bottle of Spirulina. I make me mix up the roots with Medina. Dina me house soon look like a creature. Call me go a whoop road, go link viva. Road buster, choose well. A bottle of Zapata, Spirulina. Coconut water, blood tonic. The whole world love chronic. Get it in your mind, if you not get it, you will lose. Your food be your medicine, your food. Blend up the carrot with the lettuce in a juice. And afraid for mixing vegetable with the fruit. Spirulina when we drink with Medina. Spirulina when we drink with Medina. Spirulina when we mix with Medina. Spirulina when we drink with Medina. Again.